on a career that captured her heart, reflexology. She originally established a private practice in Pretoria, South Africa, and has also worked with well-known companies in Maputo, Mozambique, where she headed and developed an employee program on stress relief and management. In Denmark, she served elderly hospice residents. However, Liz has now made Alberta, Canada her home. She opened a reflexology practice in Calgary in February 2008. In order to support and strengthen her ability and develop an even deeper understanding of the workings of the human body and its subtle energies, Liz has studied and received diplomas and accreditation in topics such as Indian head massage and Thai reflexology massage. She studied reflexotherapy under Hannah Marquardt to develop and gain deeper knowledge and experience. These days, Liz serves as a board member of the Reflexology Association of Canada, known as RAC, and along with several colleagues, opened the first reflexology chapter in Alberta in January of 2009. She works primarily as a reflexologist, but has extended her services to include health and lifestyle coaching, which she sees as quite complementary. Liz says this is due to the fact that she often finds that as her clients' health improves, they want to improve their personal lives, taking back order and stability that they might have lost in the past. Her coaching services help her clients regain their life purpose so they can reach their life goals and become the person they truly want to be. By the way, Liz has a website, and you can find it at stepforwardtobetterhealth.ca. That's www.stepforwardhealth.ca. Please help me welcome Liz Kunze. Now, Liz, you've told me that you like to begin all your presentations with a brief meditation. So why don't we start with that?
I'm really passionate about reflexology, and I love to share my knowledge. But let's start with a short relaxation, please. Let's start with 5 minutes relaxation to clear our minds, forget about our agenda, to focus for a little while on the present moment only. Sit comfortably. If you wear glasses, you may want to remove them. Your back is straight, shoulders down, arms and legs passive, heavy. Close your eyes softly. Loosen your forehead, eyelids, cheeks, and jaws. No tension, no worries. Your tongue rests flat at the bottom of your mouth. Your whole face smooths like the surface of a calm, windless lake. Take deep, long breaths through your nose. Feel the gentle movement of air passing through your nostrils, inside and out. Swallow. Relax your throat. Concentrate on your lungs, two flexible bags, well protected in the chest. Inhale, they expand. Exhale, they come back to rest. Now focus on your abdomen. If you want to, put your hands on your navel. Let them rest lightly. Breathe deeper. Feel your belly rising with each inhalation. Inhale, inflate. Exhale, deflate. No force, no strain. Your hands like leaves balancing on a wave. Continue to breathe on your own. And when you're ready, open your eyes.
Excellent. I feel so peaceful now, Liz. Thank you.
God, I needed that too.
Okay. Well, I want to keep us still feeling that peaceful, but I know that we have a lot to cover in our time here today. So why don't I begin with my first question, which is, could you tell me a little bit about the history of reflexology? How old is it, and where does it originate?
sure can. And it's a fascinating story and a very, very old one. We believe that reflexology is one of the oldest modalities, healing modalities, and it dates back more than 4,000 to 5,000 years. We believe it originated in Asia. There has been found some pictures in Egypt about it. India and China also lay claim to its origin. Many other cultures like China, India, and Thailand, North America, our own North American natives are also doing a form of reflexology. So, and even in Africa is practiced as well because it has such beneficial health benefits when working through the feet.
Wow. So.
Our modern history, though, is also quite fascinating. It kind of died down for some years, and within the past, I would say, in the early 1900s, it became very popular again. And it started with Dr. William Fitzgerald. He actually rediscovered what he called zone therapy. And zone therapy is something we still use in Europe. We do not call it reflexology. We call it zone therapy because each zone on the feet, we have five zones. The big toe and all the way down to a heel is one zone, and zone two is the second toe, zone three is the third toe, and so on. But what he did, he introduced it back into Europe and North America. And the one who became very, very interested in this is what we call our mother of reflexology. And her name is Eunice Ingham. And what she did, she actually became fascinated with reflexology. She worked with a Dr. Riley, and she was a physiotherapist there, but she decided she actually just wanted to do reflexology. And all the maps, and the maps that you see most places, are actually the map that Eunice Ingham drew. And this is still the map we use to this day, even though there's many maps on the market today. Mm-hmm. So what she did, she actually went across the states in the 1930s until the 1950s, where she actually taught in workshops. She taught hospital staff, she taught doctors reflexology, and she actually went out to the small communities when people couldn't afford to go to the doctors and that, and taught the lay people there how to help themselves with reflexology. Eunice Ingham retired at the age of 80 years old, and she died in 1974 when she was 85 years old. She managed to write several books, but the two best well-known books that she wrote is Stories the Feet Can Tell and Stories the Feet Have Told. Her nephew took over her practice in 1974, and in 1975, he opened up the International Institute of Reflexology. And the founder and president is Dwight Byers, and he lives in St. Petersburg in Florida.
Okay. So, from based on what you're saying, we understand that reflexology is primarily deals with the feet, but if I were to say, what is reflexology really about, what would you tell me?
What is reflexology? Yes, it's a very good question. And reflexology, you said, is primarily on the feet. It is true. Most people work on the feet, but you can use the hands as well and even the ears. All feet is a microorganism, or what should we say, that has a true picture of all your organs and glands in your body. It's reflected on your soles of your feet and the palms of your hands. So reflexology is actually a natural healing therapy based on the principle, as I said, there's reflexes in the feet, hands, even face, which correspond to every part, gland, and organ of the body. We use our fingers, our thumbs, and hands. And where we press, pressure is applied to these reflexes, which stimulates the body's own healing process or capabilities. The body heals. We adjust the instigators. Mm-hmm. And this is a very, very simple and very effective complementary therapy. And because the reason it is so very well known and so good at healing is because it relaxes you. And when you're relaxed, you breathe deeper, you release toxins that way, and your blood circulate better, and your nerve impulses improve as well. So you're actually balancing and harmonizing your body in that way. So that is what reflexology does in a nutshell.
All right. Fascinating. So it's a way of relaxing the body so that the body can have a chance to heal itself. Is that what you would say is the theory of reflexology, or is there more theory involved with it than that?
Yeah. There is, of course, several theories. Some of them, one of them is that the organs and glands and the nerves of the body systems are connected to these reflex areas, pointed out. And so by using pressure on these points, it's actually rebalancing itself. But more and more people believe, and I believe firmly myself, is actually we're dealing with energy medicine here. The Chinese medicine talks of invisible energy pathways or meridians that carry our life force. It's also known as ki or chi, or the Indians pronounce it prana. And that is actually that life force that is within our body that can become blocked because of civil health issues. And by stimulating and working on those congested areas, we can actually release that and stabilize our body back to being in harmony and balance again. So if you have anything that's clogged or congested, then you could actually have ill health. So by releasing those congestions in your feet or your hands, you release that and you actually restore the natural flow of your energy or your life force within your body.
Fascinating. Now, my husband, before he quit his job at this university and started working with me, my husband was the director of interactive of technology at a chiropractic university in Davenport, Iowa, Palmer College of Chiropractic. And so I've learned about chiropractic from listening to him, and I'm hearing some parallels with what you're saying to what chiropractic teaches, but they're talking all about the spine primarily. So how would you say that reflexology differs from chiropractic?
Well, it differs, of course, a lot, as we don't adjust. Well, the thing is, we don't crack the neck or the spine or anything like that. But the thing is, we do it with the feet. We work a lot on the spine. I mean, the three most ailments or conditions I see is lower back problems, it is digestive issues, and it's diabetes. And by working the spine, like the neck, for example, stimulates your brain, your arms, and your shoulders, whereas your thoracic spine, or the mid-back or spine, controls your heart, your liver, your stomach, and so on, and where the bottom part, the lumbar spine, is actually helping out, you know, with your bowels, your lower back, your limbs, your hips, and so on, and your bladder. So when any people have any problems, we will work a lot on the spine because there are so many thousands of nerve endings in the spine going out to those organs that need to be stimulated even more. So in a way, reflexology and chiropractic work actually complement each other.
Okay. All right. But now when you say you work on the spine, are you working on the spine through the feet or actually on the spine?
We will not do any adjustments really on the spine. We will actually work on the feet, a little bit on the leg as well. But we will never go up to the person and adjust the spine. No.
Okay. All right.
Do it all through. Yeah.
Fascinating. Now, who would you say that generally, what type of person, what type of unhappiness in your body could reflexology treatments help? You mentioned several, diabetes and problems with the spine, but I'm sure there's more than that.
Well, anyone can really benefit from reflexology, and more are becoming more aware of reflexology, and that is a great thing for me to see, because coming from Europe, reflexology is actually a standard thing that you go to. When I came to Canada, not a lot of people knew about reflexology, and now slowly people know about it, and I am becoming more busy as well. Anyone can really benefit from reflexology, and I have lots and lots of clients who actually come back to me now just for maintenance. Because they know the benefit and the value of having a reflexology treatment once a month, once every 6 weeks, if you have everything is okay with you now. I have, as I said, a lot of people with digestive issues. The North American diet doesn't exactly agree with too many people, as it is fast food and it's fatty and has high sugar content. A lot of children also have a lot of issues now. I find stress is a major factor that people come for me, to me, to see me, because the relaxation there is like really deep and refreshing. Most people feel really energetic when they leave. A lot of our businesses, hospitals are starting to use them here in Canada as well. Some organization and corporation are starting to use reflexology, not just massage therapists anymore. Senior homes, I go to many of those as well, using my reflexology, and I get more and more people just turning up and saying, I'm really looking forward to have something, a natural way to heal my body, instead of always going to the doctor and just getting maybe prescription drugs or so on. I get a lot of people who have had a lot of drugs and are tired of it, and they don't have seen any benefits, and people are starting to wake up and to believe in taking the responsibility for their own health, and so trying other things than just allopathic care, because they want to take care of their own body in a natural setting and have control over what they're doing as well.
Excellent. Well, now, you said that the people that come back for these maintenance treatments, they come back because they know the benefits. Perhaps it would be a good idea if at this point we would talk about what are some of the benefits that a person
That's numerous benefits. But improve blood and lymph circulation, most definitely. It releases the stress and it enhances the sleep very, very much. So I find a lot of people also, because one is stressed, you have a lot of insomnia, right? You cannot sleep, or you wake up and you have a poor sleep quality. It calms you, and it revitalizes and uplifts you really well, both your body, mind, and spirit. It enhances physical and mental relaxation, and it reduces pain. I work as a volunteer for Wellspring, which is a cancer support center or association here in Canada, and I do reflexology on a lot of the cancer patients there, and it helps a lot by taking the pain away. It also strengthens the immune system, and what is very therapeutic in itself, Anne, is the hand touch, hand to hand. A lot of people don't get a hug or touch each other that much anymore, so a lot of people actually are starved for the human touch. It improves concentration and clear thinking, and it improves elimination. I find a lot of people have either diarrhea or constipation as well as dietary issues. So that's definitely some of the benefits that you will receive by taking reflexology.
Fascinating. My brain is just spinning off in all kinds of directions. I find myself, this wasn't something I was planning to ask you, but I find myself thinking about the importance, I've been reading recently about the importance of walking, and that I've actually as a primary form of exercise, that you don't need to have machines or equipment or anything. You should just walk as a basic type of exercise. And I'm thinking, well, walking involves the soles of the feet. And then I've actually heard of people that like to walk without wearing shoes. So I'm having my brain going, so if you're walking without wearing shoes, is that some parts of the body that you would normally be treating with your reflexology treatments to be impacted by touching the ground? Am I going crazy with these questions?
No, and it's actually a very valid question. Thank you very much for asking that. Most of us wear shoes all day long, And so we don't really have a free movement in our feet. And our feet don't touch the ground in the same way as they would do in a pair of slippers, socks, or bare feet. Now, living in Canada and Calgary with minus 30 degrees outside, I'm not going to attempt that. But as soon as I get home, I actually take my shoes and socks off and I walk around. A lot of people actually have like special slippers with the knobbles on them, so they stimulate the bottom of your feet. Some people, some of my clients use a tennis ball or a golf ball rolling under their feet just to stimulate themselves and, you know, feel better. And if they say, oh, I have a kink there or it hurts there, they actually know where to go and put that ball under the feet and roll it underneath. There is small mats you can buy with those knobbles on, and you can actually stand on there on your bare feet and you do some exercises for your feet, which strengthen them, and you improve your health that way completely naturally. I also have a lot of clients when they come to me and they say, and I go through the foot. I go through the whole foot. So I take a case history, and I go from the top of the toes, which is your brain, your face, your ears, and your sinuses, and so on, and a lot of important glands like the pituitary gland and the thyroid and so on. Going under the toe to the ball of your feet, then there, I will palpitate. I will even look at the skin and markings in that, and I will palpitate. If there's any sore points, I will write it down in my case history, and I will go down, further down where the liver is, which is in the arch of the foot, in the stomach, and so on. And anything there is an indication of tenderness or there is a difference in skin texture, temperature-wise, dryness, wetness, anything like that, I take note of. And when I'm finished, I have a pretty good indication of what the things we need to work on. And people always say to me, you know what, I can't understand. When I walk on my bare feet and that, I don't feel any discomfort or pain. But when you touch me, I feel that. So that is quite a funny thing to see, because we don't feel we have any sore point, really, when you walk around, right? But as soon as I palpitate and use pressure and says, oh, that is sore, then I know in what area it is. And so I will work on these particular areas more so than other areas to relieve that congestion.
All right. Now, you mentioned that one of the big areas that you see as an area for treatment is people with diabetes. Now, I believe that as diabetes progresses, people tend to lose feeling in their feet. So is there any way that you can, with the treatments that you provide, make a person with diabetes be able to keep that sensations in their feet longer?
Okay, very good questions. Diabetes and MS clients alike, because they don't feel anything doesn't mean there's nothing wrong. They can, and that can be for any ailment. Some people are so desensitized that they don't feel anything, or the blockage or the congestion can be so hard that they don't really get the feeling. But after a few treatments, they will start feeling. And that is actually a very good way. When you start feeling it, it means nerve circulation, lymph circulation, blood circulation have improved, and you have better sensation in your feet. And that is very important, definitely, for diabetes, right, because the blood circulation is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And so areas that I would work on is, of course, the immune system and the pancreas, the bladder and the kidneys, adrenal glands. It's areas I would work particularly on. For a client with diabetes.
All right. Now, what sort of reaction, if any, would a person expect after they receive a treatment? What will they say? Obviously, if they're going to say they feel better, clearly you've made that clear, but tell us a little more about that.
Most people will say they feel really good, and a lot of people fall asleep, so that's a very big compliment.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people fight against it because it feels so good that they don't want to sleep through it all.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have certain experiences, and it's actually called the healing, we call it the healing crisis or the healing symptoms. So depending on your ailments or conditions, you can have certain reactions. after a treatment. It can come an hour after, it can come a day after, it can come 3 days after. And the most common one is you get a temporary worsening of the symptoms that you came with. You can have increased thirst, sleepiness, you can perspire more, you can go frequently to the bathroom. That is very, very common. You can even get a runny nose. You can even feel a little bit of dizziness. You can have an emotional release. You can even have skin reaction, but that doesn't happen very often. And you can actually get a slight headache as well. And this is not bad. A lot of people come back and say, you know what, I actually felt worse after a treatment. Why should I come and have a treatment again? And I said, thank you, that you have a reaction at least. So, and I always say, if you have a little bit of a headache or you're feeling a bit nauseous and that, if you can, please lie down just for half an hour. Don't take a headache tablet or something, because you're actually stopping the release of toxins leaving your body. The reason you're feeling this reaction is because the release of toxins is faster than the body can keep up with it. And that's why you feel a little bit bad. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a very, very good way or a good thing to say, I actually had a reaction to your treatment. Mm-hmm. And then say that, because the next time your reaction will not be as bad. It's not the first and second time you could have a reaction like that.
Okay, so therefore, most likely you would say that when a person starts reflexology treatments, they should expect that they're going to need more than one treatment. You talked about people coming back for a maintenance, you know, where they might just have one a month or something like that. But when you start, it sounds like you probably need a series of treatments.
Yes, that is correct. I do my initial assessment, right, when they come for the first treatment. I take a case history, and it takes me at least an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, depending on their condition and that. Mm-hmm. And after the first treatment, I can tell them pretty much how often they need to come and for how long. So, for example, with diabetes, which is a chronic disease, or MS, which is also chronic, you need more time. The body needs more time to learn to heal again. Right? So if you come with an acute thing like a migraine, I can do it in one session, maybe even in 20 minutes. But chronic takes a lot longer. Depending on how severe the condition is, I would say for a diabetic person with diabetes type 1, for the first 8 treatments, you will have to come once a week. And then we do a reassess and we reassess, and we'll get another case history written down and see how much you have improved. It says now we can have 2 weeks between our treatments, and later on 3 weeks. Yeah, so it can take quite some time for chronic ailments, definitely. It can.
Okay.
But most people who have, as I said, come back to me is as a client who knows the full benefit of having a reflexology treatment. I have many.
All right.
They just keep coming back, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you say that reflexology treatment could benefit anyone, or are there some specific conditions that where people would be in a situation where they shouldn't have a treatment?
Yeah. We do not like to, or we prefer not to treat clients if they have a fever. And so even though we don't believe that... we do this when women are pregnant. This we say for the first trimester, just to play it absolutely safe, they should not come and get receive a treatment. We don't think there's any harm in it, really, but we prefer that they don't come. People with open foot ulcers, open sores and wounds should not come. People with gout, obviously, it is so sensitive that you can hardly touch it. You can maybe work other areas, but definitely not your big toe area and joint.
Mm-hmm.
And I also just want to emphasize, please, that we do not massage the feet. We actually use pressure points, reflex points. A lot of people say, well, I'd like to have a foot massage, and this is actually not what we do. We do use pressure. It's actually a treatment, not just something relaxing and nice, but no benefits at all. This is actually very beneficial. And that's also something I like to mention at the same time, is that we do not replace your doctor, absolutely not. We like to work with him as a complementary modality. We do not diagnose any illness that you may have. We don't say, well, you have this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We do not prescribe anything, or we do not adjust any medication. And we don't treat for any specific condition. So we treat the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. We don't say we're only going to treat diabetes, or we're only going to treat your headache and that. We actually treat the whole person.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah. So this is just an important thing to know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, you've talked a little bit as talking about going, working with organizations, or, you know, working within businesses. So would you say that I guess my question is, who primarily benefits from reflexology? Would it be organizations or corporations, or just a layperson?
You know, anyone can benefit from reflexology, but I can give you some examples of what we hope to bring to Canada as well more and more frequently. Is that, as you know, I am Danish, and in Denmark, reflexology has been used extensively at the airport. I think it is the post office, even our, supermarkets and things like that, for their employees, because it is actually much easier to have healthy staff when a reflexology come in to prevent illness. A lot of people take a day off sick because of headaches or not feeling well and not giving enough concentration and input at work. So in mm-hmm. Denmark, since early 1960s, it is actually quite common that either the company hires a reflexology to come and do their staff there. They can either pay for the full treatment, they can pay half the treatment, or the client or the staff can pay for it themselves. That's different modalities to that. But most companies in Denmark actually pay for at least half. And then, you have your own insurance as well. But it is really very well used in Denmark, and I know in the UK as well. So that is to prevent sickness and loss of revenue, right? Because people don't go to work. And you still have to pay their salary, and so it's actually working very well that way.
Excellent.
Yeah.
At first, when I thought, when you were talking about airports, I was thinking that, you know, you might have travelers who would benefit from getting a treatment, but no, you're saying the employees is
exactly. But you know what? That would be a good idea to have a little booth there, just to relax people if they are nervous for traveling.
Well, I was thinking of that because one of the airports that I've traveled through here in the Midwest, it's an airport in, it's in Illinois, but they call it the Quad City Airport. It's in Moline, Illinois. But I've seen that there's a chair massage person who provides chair massages to travelers. But I was thinking, you know, I've never thought of taking a chair massage while I was at an airport, because I'm always in a hurry when I'm there. I'm never having time to set up an appointment. But I was just thinking, well, you know, this, what you're talking about, would be so much better for a person than a chair massage. So
yes, I have seen that myself, and I think it's such a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Maybe I should think about that. Yeah.
All right. Well, I gave you an idea. Now you said that there are certain people that you don't give treatments to. You know, you mentioned the open sores or ulcers. But are there other specific conditions that would, if people have beyond the, you know, you also said the first trimester of pregnancy, anything else where we talk about a person shouldn't come to see a reflexologist?
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, I've had two clients in my 13 years of doing reflexology where I've actually started a treatment and that, and I had to stop, either because it was too painful, and the other one was so ticklish, I actually could not finish the treatment. And normally, Even my husband is ticklish, and actually he's very ticklish. But when I do a reflexology treatment, I don't tickle. I mean, I have a firm pressure on that. And mm-hmm. so it shouldn't tickle. But that was just that one person. And then I had a person that was actually feeling so bad and ill that my pressure was light as a feather, and she simply could not stand it. So that's mm-hmm. the only two times I've actually had someone say they couldn't handle it at all. But otherwise, I would say most people can come and try and see what it's all about.
All right. So would you say that there is anything that a reflexologist can't or won't do? I know you said you don't change medications and you don't try to replace a physician. But beyond that, anything that a person shouldn't see a reflexologist for?
I can't think of anything right now.
Okay.
No.
One of the questions that has occurred to me is, are there any conditions that reflexology treatment could make worse?
No, it is not making any condition worse. It is, like I mentioned before, you can have a reaction after, and that's why people think they are getting worse. You can actually feel bad for a few days, even if you have if you're very congested, and that you can actually feel bad for a little while. It is true, and the best way actually to relieve that is rest and drink lots and lots of fluid in order for you to get all the toxins out of your body. I mean, reflexology is a non-invasive, very, very natural therapy that really relaxes and harmonizes the body. So anyone can actually handle a treatment, except if you're extremely ticklish, then you can. You should be able to. There is no really specific conditions in that says that you cannot tolerate a treatment, really not. I have not encountered it at all.
All right.
Are you
wonderful.
Thinking about something specific, Anne, that you have heard about?
No. Maybe? No, I haven't heard about it. I just was curious whether there was anything that, you know, that you would have advice that, you know, this would be a situation where you would, as a reflexologist, would not want to tread, so to speak. So,
quite the contrary, I would say. I mean, I work a lot with cancer patients as well, and I had a friend, and I actually went into the hospital and treated her with reflexology, and she had a lot of pain in that, and I actually, you managed to soothe mm-hmm. the pain away. So it is very beneficial. A friend of mine who is also sitting on the RAC board, and she lives in Toronto, she actually works with hospice patients, and she says she don't do it for any treatment at all. She just mm-hmm. do it for the pain relief that it gives. So So reflexology can be used in many ways, not just to revitalize the body and help getting it back in balance. And so it is actually used also a lot in hospices. I know she works quite often in the hospice, and they all thank her because it takes a lot of the pain and the discomfort away.
Well, that's a fabulous thing to know. My father-in-law was in a hospice program. He had cancer and died of cancer, but before he died, he was in a hospice program, and I know that the whole point of hospice was, you know, to make his last days as comfortable as possible. So this would seem to fit right in with that.
Yes, and I am so happy that organizations like that are waking up more and more to see these benefits from reflexology. It really is coming along nicely, and I'm very, very pleased. It was very difficult for me when I first came to Canada or Calgary to see there was no reflexology signs. And also another thing that I'm quite concerned about is that there's no rules and regulation in Canada, as far as I know, that you can actually take a weekend course and you can call yourself a reflexologist.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a client come in. He was a regular. I opened up my practice at another clinic, and this client came back, and he said, "Oh, you finally have a reflexologist again." And so I treated him, and he really liked it, and he came out and he paid, and he said, you know what? I never knew that reflexology included the toes. And I was flabbergasted. The toes are very, very important, as the brain is in there, your ears, your sinuses, your eyes, and things like that, and especially the pituitary glands and all that. And I said, what? I actually didn't even dare to say anything. But you see, if you only take a weekend course, then you don't really know what to treat. I firmly believe that you should have a proper training, because only with proper training do you know what organs and glands to work on thoroughly to actually see improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what people want to get to, right? They want an improvement in their condition. I find
right.
a lot of people, when I've tried this reflexologist and it didn't work, it's because they don't harm, they only had 1 month training or 2 week weekend courses or something. They don't harm people per se, really, but they certainly don't give any benefits either. So I say to people when I do presentations elsewhere, please look for a registered, certified reflexologist therapist. Because
mm-hmm.
otherwise you might not get a full benefit. You can pay quite a lot of money with a person who has not had maybe a full education, and that is such a pity that you don't get the full benefit of a good treatment.
Well, now, does RAC in Canada, does that provide a certification program for Canadian
yes.
reflexologists?
Yes, they do.
Is there a similar program in the United States?
I am sure there is. I have not looked into it, Anne, actually. I have not. But I'm
okay.
pretty sure it will be more or less the same. I took actually my course, which was a one-year course at that time, with the International Institute of Reflexology. And I did that because I wanted it to be internationally recognized, which means
mm-hmm.
I took it in Africa, right? So my mind was thinking, oh, my God, maybe that's not such a good education. But Dwight Byers, who is the founder and president for the International Institute of Reflexology, has a very, very good education. You have to have a certain amount of hours.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take anatomy and physiology as well. And you have to pass. Your passing grade has to be 80 or 85% in all areas. Otherwise, you will not pass.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a certain knowledge and a certain skill in order for you to be able to perform. So there is stringent rules with that. So that's a good organization to take it with. And it's one of the biggest organizations, I think, in the States. RAC is big in Canada. But we also have several colleges and universities now that has opened up their doors and teaching reflexology. So it's really good to see.
Mhm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to learn more about, let me give a little personal background. My grandfather was a physician, and an old school physician. I mean, he was trained in the 1920s, so he was always of the opinion that the only healing art that was trustworthy was someone who was a medical doctor. And
yes.
So the whole concept of chiropractic, when my husband started working for the Palmer College of Chiropractic, is the first chiropractic university in the United States, and Davenport, Iowa is where chiropractic was founded. Still, chiropractic in my family growing up, that was a bad name because we were influenced by my grandfather, who thought, you know, only MDs were the only way that you would get treatment. But the thing that I have found as I've lived my life and grown older is that I much prefer to find out natural ways to be treated. I don't like to be always having to be taking pills. I think that pills, and I've actually heard my father saying this, and maybe it's because he's half Norwegian. Maybe there's something about the Scandinavian countries. I'm not sure, but my father is a great advocate for natural treatments, and he's also a big advocate for walking. So
yeah. Yeah, my favorite sport is Nordic walking, and it originated in Norway. Yeah, and it is true, and you know, there's a lot of medical doctors now in Canada that's actually learning reflexology or acupuncture or becoming a homeopath. That is also a big thing, yeah, to restore your body natural balance just with remedies. But I find a lot of, other, like you mentioned with your grandfather, a lot of medical doctors here don't even want to hear about it. It is just a mumble-jumble. It is not something that you should do, and it's not going to work. But I find, like you mentioned, more and more people are becoming more interested in natural healing remedies and methods to make themselves feel better. And this is why people are waking up now actually saying, I have to take it, or no one else can do it for me. And by saying that, you're also taking control on how you want to do it.
Right.
And it makes
how you want to do it, let me go back to something that I want to make sure that you stress enough here. Is you talked about that some people think that this is just a massage, but it's really pressure points. Could you talk a little bit about what's the difference between a massage treatment and pressure points?
Yeah, a massage treatment is we take cream on and you really massage the feet and it feels good and it's more smooth. It's not like a hard press. You don't pinpoint anything. When you give massage, it's with a flat hand and you just rub the feet. It feels very nice and it can take a lot of stress away, definitely. But it's not a treatment. I cannot, by the flat of my hand, treat, for example, say, the kidney area or the adrenal gland or your stomach reflex. I have to use either my thumbs, my knuckles, or my index finger to get in to those areas. And I can feel when there is a congestion. Now, for example, your feet can be grainy. It can be really soft. It can be very, very hard. It can feel like sand. It can feel like pebbles. Or it can feel like it's very hot or extremely cold in that area. Different skin temperatures. There's different colors on the bottom of your feet or of the whole foot. For example, there are certain signs we can look for and when looking at the feet. Like I said, a lot of clients come to me with digestive issues. Now, the digestive area of the foot is actually in the arch of your foot, okay? So this is where your large intestine is, your small intestine, your bowels, your bladder, and so on. Now, if a lot of people have digestive issues, then I can look and I can actually see a swelling in their small intestine areas right on the arch of the foot. It's actually a swelling. We call it a medallion. And it can be slightly hot. And when I press it, it is extremely sensitive. Or if you have a bladder infection, that will be on the medial side of your foot, which is the inside of your foot, just above the heel. This is where the bladder is located, and often that can be red and swollen as well. And by palpitating that, and you say, ow, that is sore, we will say, well, you might have a congestion in the bladder area. And they will tell me, yes, I have been going to the bathroom quite a lot, and it was burning a little bit. So you will work the bladder, the kidney, the adrenal, and the immune system, and the lymphs to clean out and strengthen the immune system and make the body heal itself and get it back into balance, you see? So there's different, also a lot of people have sinuses, especially in Calgary, because it's so, so, so dry here, and it really bothers a lot of people with that. The sinus areas are in all the toes. And you can just by palpitating and looking, sometimes even your toes are swollen. And just by touching your feet or the toes, then go, oh, my God, this is so sensitive. So you can actually look at the foot. Sometimes you can see there's marks on the foot. There's a blemish there or there's hard skin there. Or I find a lot of people, it is not 100% accurate, but then you palpitate and you ask questions, right? I find a lot of people who has a little bit of hard skin on your big toe, on the medial side of your big toe, and even on your thumbs you can have it, they have sometimes neck problems. So by working that area, we'll work the neck, or you have neck and shoulder problems, or they suffer from headaches quite a lot. So there is actually signs on your feet that can show you, tell you, ah, this could be a problem area. And so you would definitely be the date. Yeah?
What about things like bunions or calluses? Is that totally separate from what you're talking about?
Not in every case. As I said, it's not completely 100%. If you get a callus or a blister because you're wearing too tight shoes or you just bought new shoes, well, that is because you're wearing too tight shoes, you know. Then you have a blister, and that is nothing. That's just a blister. But sometimes you can get a callus. Some people actually can have a callus on their heel, but also under the heel. And sometimes it can be an indication of a sciatic problem, a sciatic nerve problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't say it always is. It is not. But often it does give us a good indication that there is something wrong in that area.
All right. Now, I've always been told that I have high arches, whereas I know, you know, some people, when if their foot was wet and they stepped on something, you would see the whole foot, whereas other people, you might, with a high arch like I have, you might see the heel and the ball of the foot and the toes, but you don't see that arch area. Is there anything that a reflexologist would say about the different shapes of people's feet?
Yes. I encounter high arches can also lead to back problems, and you sometimes can feel a little bit more unstable on your feet because your arch is so high. I find the more people, though, are flat-footed, and that causes tremendous strain on all your joints. So you can actually, what would be a very good idea is actually to buy a reflexology walking mat or carpet, that's what it's called, actually to stimulate yourself and do some foot exercise. It is very, very important to strengthen your muscles and ligaments in your feet, especially when you're flat-footed. It can help. It takes time to build that up, but it is very, very beneficial. And also,
find a mat like that. Where would you buy
one?
Where would you buy a mat like that?
You can go. Actually, you can Google it. Rack will have them for sale. That I know.
Okay.
So you would just go. You can go and you can write reflexology walking mat.
Uh huh.
Or reflexology walking shoes or something like that, and you will find them there. That's quite a lot on the market at the moment, and thank God, a lot of people are using it. I just wanted to tell you something different is that when people buy shoes, they always say, well, I take a size 8 or a 9 or a 10 in that. That's fine. But when you buy shoes, you shouldn't actually go so much for the length. You should actually go more for the width.
Okay.
That is actually the culprit. If you buy too narrow shoes, you will never break those shoes in, and that's a myth. You should never break in a pair of shoes. They should fit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important to what I did for my children as well. I actually let them stand on a piece of cardboard paper, and I drew their feet exactly, and then I cut it out. And then when I went into shops to buy closed shoes especially, I would put that piece of cotton into the shoe, put it flat in, wait a minute, and I'll pull it out. Wherever the cotton was bent, that is where your shoe would touch your toes or your heel or something like that. And then these shoes would not be beneficial for that foot.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of a hint there. That's actually a good way to buy shoes.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I know that I have a foot where it spreads more when I stand down on it than when I just am not putting my full weight on it. So I've always been aware that I could put on a shoe that might fit, but when I stood down with my weight on it, my foot would spread out, and I needed to make sure that the shoe would fit when I was actually walking on it. So
yeah.
Fascinating. Well,
Well, I must say, I find more and more people are actually wearing more comfortable shoes than they ever had before. I mean, most people are wearing running shoes and tackies and flat shoes, except for people maybe working in the business world. They all wear very high heels, I must say. But I would say most people now have a very good and comfortable shoe, whereas before it was not the case.
Right. No, I've read so many articles that talk about those high heels are really bad for your tendons and your feet, and And so I'm glad to know that you're seeing more and more people are getting away from wearing those fashion shoes that aren't good for our feet.
Yes, exactly. But that is good to see.
Al, this has been wonderful information, Liz, and our time has really flown by here, so I'm going to open the call up and ask our listeners if they would like to ask you a question, because I see we're almost at the top of the hour here, so I want to make sure that they have any chance to get their questions answered. So speak up, anyone here. Ask a question, please. Okay, I guess people are being shy. I'll ask you another question. You talked earlier about specific, number of treatments that a person might need. Is there any rule of thumb that a person might expect when they first go to see a reflexologist as to how many treatments they might be being told that they would need?
Yeah, I would tell them more or less right away after my initial consultation. I can tell. And then I prefer to book them all in advance so they know when to come. And sometimes a person can be so congested that I like them to come maybe two times a week, maybe for the first 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
to get things moving and that. And then we go from 1 week, and then we space it further and further out. Some people actually start feeling, let's say they have, it can be anything, back problems, for example. And we work on the foot, and we work once a week, and it's really doing well, and they have less pain, and they walk better, and they feel better. And then it says, now we can try with 2 weeks. And they will come back and say, you know what, after 10 days, I could actually feel my back starting to ache. So it means the treatment, in this case, only lasted 10 days. So mm-hmm. we go back every 10 days. And then we go out back to every 2 weeks, and then he will come back and he'll say, you know what, it lasts really well. And then we will space it out for another further 3 weeks and then take it from there. Sometimes the treatment actually don't only last so long.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how you space it out. So you always ask the client when they come back, how are you feeling? What symptoms have you had? What improvement do you feel? And so on. And we record that very carefully every time they come. And sometimes they can come up with new symptoms, and this is things, and then we will start working on that as well. Sometimes a client has so many conditions that you will just work on one condition first and get that cleared up, and then you will work on the next one and next one. Because sometimes mm-hmm. clients are really feeling very bad and having a lot of ailments on top of each other. And so you have to just work on one condition at a time. And some people who are very sensitive or are very, very sore in the feet when being touched, sometimes we only use a half an hour. It doesn't have to be an hour treatment. A lot of some people cannot handle an hour. And some people, if they only want to be working on one particular area on the foot, half an hour is fine.
All right. Well, now I can see that one way that reflexology treatments are different than going to a physician is that quite often if I'm going to a physician because I have an ailment, not because I'm going for a checkup, in other words, but because I have something like a pain in my back or something like that, if I'm going to a physician, most likely it seems to me there will be some kind of assessment of the body part that's being troubled, and then it seems most likely like I'm going to get some kind of recommendation for healing that involves a prescription, probably. So is that the mm-hmm. main way that you would see that you differ from going to a physician, is that it doesn't sound like your treatments are ever involving anything other than the actual treatment that they receive when they're there at your facility. Is that correct? Or is there
that
other
is correct. Of course, we don't prescribe any medication. We are not medical doctors. And a lot of people have also come to realize that when you get medication, some of them is vital. I'm most certainly not saying that, and that's why we do not prescribe medication or alter it at all. It is that often medication is a symptomatic relief, which mm-hmm. means they're covering up the symptoms, but we're not really getting down to the root cause
right.
of your ailment or condition. And mm-hmm. and lot of people don't have patience. They say, oh, my God, your treatments are not working quick enough. You have to be patient. You didn't get diabetes overnight. You didn't get a heart condition overnight. You didn't get a sore back overnight. You mm-hmm. see? So people take a pill and the symptoms go away, but the condition still remains. The root cause still remains. This is what a lot of people have to realize. They have to be patient, and they have to come back for treatment maybe several times before it helps. But at least we work not only on the physical level. We work body, mind, and spirit. A lot of people can get emotional. A lot of our congestions in our feet or our hands or whatever is actually emotional issues that have not been dealt with. Yeah? And then by mm-hmm. pressuring on those issues, you can actually get break down sometimes and cry a little bit or feel unhappy or feel a release. And I have a lot of people who sigh a lot because they're releasing a lot of emotional stress and problems mm-hmm. they have been storing up in the body and not being dealt with. So we work on many, many levels.
Okay, so what you're saying is don't just treat for symptoms, that you're working on many levels.
Yeah.
Not just symptoms.
Symptoms is your body's way of telling you there's something wrong. Symptoms, mm-hmm. when your body has a symptom, it's the body trying to get rid of the root cause by showing you there is something and trying to get rid of it. Yeah? By mm-hmm. giving medication, you're only covering it up. But you are feeling better, of course, right away, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get to the root cause of what is actually gave you that condition in the first place. And this is what we're dealing with when we do reflexology.
All right. Now, are there, beyond the, you talked about hospice situations or the, I think you called it Wellspring treatment,
yes.
that the service that you do there, are there times when physicians and maybe even psychologists and reflexologists might all work together as a team?
You know, there is several centers here in Calgary that I know of. Like they have medical doctors, they have a homeopath, they have a chiropractor, they have a reflexologist or massage therapist that are very popular in Canada here. All under one umbrella or one roof. Yes. That
mm-hmm.
certainly is, and it's so nice to see. It complements each other very well.
Mm-hmm. So that would be a way that the whole person is being treated.
Yes, yes. And that is what we aim to do, right?
Right. Well, that's the end of my questions. I'm going to ask again if our listeners have a question that they would like to jump in and ask us. Otherwise, Liz, I'm going to ask anything else that I haven't asked that you'd like to make sure we cover.
You have asked some very, very good questions. I've really been enjoying talking to you and sharing my knowledge with everyone on this call tonight.
Well,
and I hope it has been beneficial for everyone.
Oh, I hope so, too, because I've been really enjoying the information that you've been providing. It's been great learning from you, and I certainly thank you for being my guest and for this great discussion on reflexology for total health. I really think that the whole concept of total health is something that we, especially as we age, we're starting to realize that the importance of total health, and not just looking at one aspect of our being, but our whole self. So this sounds to me like an excellent way to treat our symptoms in order to get that desired situation of total health. So anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I think I'm good. Thank you very
All
much.
Right. Well, I want to thank you then, and thank everyone who's been listening for joining us. And next week at the same time, we'll be talking to Dr. Diana Kirshner, author of the book Sealing the Deal. She calls herself the Love Doctor, and she'll be talking about secrets of dating and relationship success for boomers and those of us who are older than boomers. So I'm glad to know that I caught a program on the Today Show this morning where they were talking about dating for people that were in their 80s, which was kind of mind-boggling to me. But I guess that might be something that Dr. Krishnan will be able to tell us about next week. So thank you, everyone, for being on the call. Especially thank you, Liz, for being my guest. And I hope that we can have another chance to talk about this further, because I'm finding the information that you provided to be just fascinating.
Thank you so much, Anna. Thank you for having me tonight. I really enjoyed it.
I did, too. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Night.